Our world has many problems, and the causes of those problems vary from one issue to the next. But one of the biggest problems within society is that of personal relationships. And it seems like developing and maintaining and keeping relationships in our society today is becoming harder and harder as the weeks and the months and the years move closer to the return of Jesus Christ. Maintaining relationships often requires that we as a person be willing to yield to someone else, being willing to just step back and give way to the other person. And that's a part of what God has called us to do, isn't it? He wants us to be able to yield towards others. And I think that comment about yielding to others is, for most of us, I think it builds a strong picture in our mind, because we find ourselves doing that out on the roadways almost every day that we drive. You pass by signs when you're getting on the interstate, or when you're in some cases when you're even just turning a corner, you'll have a big yield sign, and it tells us and warns us that it's best to stop and look and let the other traffic pass on by if they're there. And that's a good thing to keep in mind in the way we deal with each other in our personal relationships. Be willing to stop and yield and let them have the right of way. Being able to do that comes from your ability to be able to show and have respect and honor towards someone else. Showing proper respect towards others really boils down to the concept of having a heart filled with honor towards that other person. If you don't have a heart filled with honor towards someone, most likely you're going to struggle when it comes to showing someone else respect. Having honor towards others is an ideal that's found throughout our society, isn't it? Think for a moment. Think about the many professions that are in our world today, especially within our United States. Think about the professions that come with a title or a sense of honor attached to them. Can anybody think, we'll go ahead and open this up a little bit. Can anybody think of a profession where there is a title, so to speak, of honor that goes with that profession?
A judge.
Exactly. That's an excellent example. Because when you go before the courts and you go before the judge, how do you address the judge? Your honor. And in that setting, nothing less than that is going to be accepted. The judge has a name. Let's say his name's Mike Smith. You can't go into before the judge and say, even if you know him, even if you're his best friend, you can't go in there and say, "Hi, Mike, how you doing?" It's not going to be accepted in the court of law. The only thing that's accepted is that honorary term of your honor. And everybody's required to do that. And if you don't, and actually, if you can even have no honor in your heart for that judge, but you still have to express it by your words. And that's something we'll talk more about in the future. What else? What about if you are driving along and all of a sudden you get pulled over and this gentleman or female comes walking up to your car and they've got a uniform on and they got a nice badge on their chest? How do you address that person in such a way to show them honor? Now, you can address them other ways, but it's just going to get you in more trouble than what you originally were pulled over for. Officer. Absolutely. You recognize him by his title. That's your hope is that you're showing honor to that officer and at least to some degree, hopefully winning him over to your side at that point. What about within our political system? I always kind of find it funny when I watch the news and you see Congress debating things on TV, and you'll see them recognizing someone else there at the same time. And they have protocol that they have to follow that shows honor to the other person. And it's kind of funny because deep down, they a lot of times they can't stand the other person that they're about ready to talk to or address, that there's a lot of hatred and anger in their heart. But yet, they have to follow the honor system within the political courts there. And like senators, don't address each other by name in those situations, but rather they refer to their equal as a senator from Pennsylvania, from wherever they're at. They'll include that, the senator from Pennsylvania, the senator from New York. And in the House of Representatives, they refer to each other very specifically as congressman or congresswoman, followed by the district that they represent. That's how they're to be addressed. So it's an honorary title. And also can't forget the medical profession, because when you go to the doctor, generally speaking, and I think in most cases this is true, you don't address him as Mr. Smith. You typically recognize him as doctor. That's the honorary title that you, in most cases, willingly give to the gentleman or lady that is taking care of you, that's helping you, that is the doctor. They receive that title of honor from us. So then that's just scratching the surface. We could go on and on showing how much honor has been and is supposed to be a part of our society. And that's not a bad thing. That's actually a good thing. And I support it 100%. But the problem in our society is that the recognition of honor that we give to others around us is usually mostly a formality. It's usually not accompanied by a sincere honor felt in that person's heart when they address someone else with a statement of honor. Words of honor don't always come from a heart filled with honor. My message today, I'd like to discuss how important it is that we become a person that has honor developed in our heart, and that we give it to our fellow man on a regular basis. The title for my sermon today is simply The Giving of Honor. The Giving of Honor. I want to start out by talking about the importance of showing and giving honor towards our parents. The entire Ten Commandments, when you think about it, are centered around the idea and the concept of giving honor. Of giving honor to God, and then the second half of the Ten Commandments, Commandment 5 through 10, talks about how to properly have and give honor to our fellow man. But that fifth commandment, God took advantage of that and became very specific in that commandment, saying that we are to show honor to our mothers and our fathers. Let's go ahead and turn to Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, honor your father and your mother. And this commandment is also very unique in the sense because God follows this up with a promise. And the reason, an explanation of why you should do this, and a promise. That your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. God's saying if you truly, not just with words, but if you truly in your heart build an honor for your father and mother, your days will be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Hebrew word for honor here in verse 12 is kabad, K-A-B-A-D, kabad. And it can mean to give glory or to honor, to give honor. And that's kind of unique as well because, in a sense, God's saying with this Hebrew word that we are to glorify, not in a godly sense, of course, but to glorify our father and mother. Let's turn to Isaiah 24, verse 15, real quick. That word, Hebrew word kabod, can certainly be translated glory. And we'll see it here in Isaiah 24, verse 15. It says, therefore, glorify the Lord. That's that word glorify there in the New King James Version is the same exact Hebrew word that we find for honor to parents back in Exodus chapter 20. Therefore, glorify the Lord in the dawning light, the name of the Lord God of Israel in the coastlands of the sea. So even this verse talks about actively going out and giving glory to God. And God wants us to be actively going out and showing honor or glory to our parents. It's important that we understand how important that command of showing honor to our parents is to God. Becoming a person that lives with honor in his or her heart begins at a very early age. It takes place and is intended to take place in the early years of a person's growth and upbringing. A large part of parenthood, especially at the early years of age, is teaching our children the importance, and not just the importance, but also teaching them how to respect other children that they're playing with. It doesn't take very long for a small child to see something they really like and start wanting it and cherishing it in their hearts and think that it has to be just theirs and that they can't share that item, that Barbie or that Hot Wheel or whatever the case might be. They want it and it's all theirs and they even hold it close to their chest at times. And that's when mom and dad have to step in a little bit and say, it's okay to share. It's okay to let Jimmy or Sally or whoever play with the toys as well. And that's a parent's role at an early age. It teaches the children to share and to show respect and honors to the kids that they're playing with. Rearing respectful children begins with something that we might seem to be small in terms of other things, like making sure that our children don't call us by our first names. I know when I was younger, there was a family that I knew, and they allowed their children to call the parents by their first name. And that just, when I first heard it shocked and surprised me, because I know in my upbringing, my upbringing was not perfect, so I'm not using it as the perfect example, but I'm just saying in this regard, I would never have been allowed to call my parents by their first name. It was mom and dad. And I, when I first heard it, I kept looking to see the reaction of the parents to see if they were going to correct their children. But at that point, it had been done so often, so many times that it was an accepted norm within the family. But parents hold a position of authority within the family. They hold a position of responsibility over and above their relationship with their children. And that position of authority and responsibility is given to parents by God. He expects parents to maintain and hold their position of authority over the children. And there's a lot that goes into that statement of just saying that a parent has authority over the children. But parents and children must live up to those roles within the Christian household. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. We're all very familiar here. Paul's talking about the importance of showing honor within the Christian family. Ephesians chapter 6, we'll read the first four verses. Verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." So that talks about and shows the authority that's there within the family, that the children are to recognize their parents as the authority figures within the family. And Paul goes on to say, "For this is right." It's the right thing to do. Verse 2, "Honor your father and your mother." And this command is to children, but not just to children. Because as adults, this scripture, verse 2, applies to me in my life. It applies to you in your life, no matter what your age. We're to show honor to our father and our mother. Our parents are always going to be our fathers, our father and mother. They'll never lose that title or lose that role in our life. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, which we talked about when we saw Exodus chapter 20. Verse 3 of Ephesians 6, "That it may be well with you and you may live long upon the earth." Verse 4, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath." You see, this relationship and this family God-given relationship requires that the parents be living a life using wisdom and knowledge and understanding in dealing with their children. We're not to push and to prod our children to a point of where they're breaking. That's not the authority that God has given us as parents. We're to use wisdom. We're to use mercy and use forgiveness. We're to treat our children the best we can like God treats us. And all of those aspects of mercy and forgiveness are poured upon us as parents every day of our life. God never provokes us as adults to a point of wrath. He deals with us patiently and mercifully. And he continues to work with us and help us to grow and understand and to become even more knowledgeable in his way, in his word. God wants us as parents to do the same thing for our children. Be patient with them. Show mercy towards them and help them to understand the godly way of life. Number one, so they'll have peace and contentment in their life at this time, but even more so as they become adults. So it's so important that we maintain honor and respect within the family. Even following up there in verse 4 of Ephesians 6, following that admonition that we don't provoke our children to wrath really boils down to us showing honor and respect to our children. It's so important that we show honor to our children. If honor is an important aspect in our families, it goes both directions. In fact, if you're teaching your children on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, the importance of learning how to have honor in their heart for others, and you show it to them, that's going to just cement that, so to speak, in their character and in their nature as a person. Because they're not only just going to hear your words saying, be honorable to others or be respectful to others, they're going to see that you give it to them. And they're going to see how good it feels to receive that honor and respect. And then they're going to want to give that to others as well. Children should be taught to never talk back to their mom and dad. And I've seen that so many times. You can go to a grocery store, not to pick on Walmart, but you go to any big grocery store pretty much any time of the week, and you're going to see kids throwing a fit. I was there this past week, and I wasn't even close to this. I looked like the younger female was the mom. There was two kids. I know at least one of them was a boy, and I didn't see the kids acting up. They didn't draw my attention to see them, but I just happened to look up, and I see this mom, and I think her mom was actually there with her, and I see her. She's not looking at me, but I'm probably from here to the back of the hall here away from her, and I'm standing in line, and she just goes. I could see the stress. It was like a volcano just getting ready to blow. And she bows her head down like this, and she puts her hands out like this, and she just goes, and her head comes up, and she just unleashes on her son there. And I, like I said, I didn't see him doing anything. And she just goes, stop! Why don't you just stop? And I'm thinking, you're showing him the absolute lack of self-control that you're telling him that you want him to have in himself. So I'm not trying to pick on her, but this is something that is repeated in families way too much. We hold a line for our kids, and then that same line for us is way down here below what we expect them to do. Set the example. If we want our children to grow up, and hopefully we do, to be children that have hearts filled with honor, show it to them. Make honor a part of your life. It's so important that we accomplish that whole aspect, that it's not something that's just preached to us. It's the same thing for me as the pastor. I can't be up here just saying, you need to honor each other and show honor. I've got to do the same thing. It's upon me to show honor to every one of you. Otherwise, I'm just a hypocrite. So it's not an easy thing to do, but it can be done. And God requires us to be people of honor. And I'm just telling you, it's best to start at a very young age with our children, building that concept of honor in them. But children need to make sure and be taught that it's wrong to talk back against mom and dad and not showing them the respect and honor that they deserve as their parents. It's okay to not agree with everything that your parents say, because not everything that our parents say is good and right, but hopefully most of it is. And God requires us, even if they're telling us to do something wrong, like my dad, for instance, told me he didn't respect the fact or have any honor for the fact that I wanted to start going to church on the Sabbath back when I was 18 years old. I didn't argue with him about that. I respected him, I believe I did at the time, as my father, and I just quietly sat there and let him share his own thoughts. And he didn't really say much. It was more his actions. He was clearly frustrated with me when I told him that I wanted to start going to church on the Sabbath. But I didn't argue with him. I didn't fight back with him. I didn't tell him how wrong Sunday church was in terms of worship of God. I just sat and listened. And I knew that God would work it out, and someday I know he will. I know someday and trust and hope that someday my dad will be called to understand the importance of the Sabbath day. And I look forward to that time as well. But even though you don't, my point is, even though you may not agree with your parents, no matter what your age is, show them honor and respect at all times. And there will be times when you can voice your opinion. And there's times when it's good, to, as I said at the beginning of the sermon, to yield, to step back, and just let the parents have their opinion. Then go back later when emotions have calmed down and go back to your mom or dad and say, Mom or Dad, can I talk to you about the discussion we had before? But first, be quick to yield and to show honor and respect when necessary. There's nothing worse than getting into a situation and a discussion that starts to turn emotional, and then pretty soon both people are just firing back and forth at each other, and nothing good is ever going to come from that, and no honor or respect is going to end up being shown by either person. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 17, and I'll read from the English Standard Version, the ESV. Proverbs 29, verse 17 says, discipline your son, and he will give you rest. He will give you delight to your heart. And that's such an important instruction there. Discipline can mean, at times, a little whack on the rear end to bring them in line. Certainly never our discipline in that terms should not bring reach to the level of abuse or actually harming the child. But at times, when it's necessary, and hopefully it doesn't happen very often, discipline is necessary. But most of our discipline is just that of training a child. Be disciplined ourselves as parents to train our children all the time, making sure that they have it, because none of us can just be told one thing and then from then on we have it down. It requires thoughtful consideration and working through and developing the discipline that we need to change certain things about our actions in our own life. So it's the same thing with our children. Make sure that we discipline them, we train them day after day, week after week, to walk and to do things that are right. Specifically, in the message today, we're talking about being respectful. Discipline your children in the way of importance of being respectful and honorable to others. And once that becomes a part of their nature and their character, verse 17 is going to be fulfilled with you as parents. You're going to have rest. You're not going to have frustration like the lady that I saw in Walmart. She didn't have to have that kind of a relationship with her son. The way that poured out there that I witnessed that evening was just the obvious problem that so many in our world today struggle with when it comes to personal relationships. They haven't followed the God-given instruction of how to develop and maintain our relationships with each other. So discipline your son and your daughters. And mostly that is a focus of doing it constantly, working with them, helping them to develop their own personal character and nature so that they do show respect and honor to others. If we ignore these teachings and think, well, they don't mean that much, it sends a message to our children as well, that they're on the same level with us as parents. If we ignore the teachings of not talking back, if we ignore the teachings of them not showing honor and respect to their parents. If we allow our children to call us by our first names, all of that puts them on the same level as us as parents. And that's not what God intended. Another important point in training our children to be children that give respect and honor to others is teaching our children the proper way to address other adults. Children and teens should address adults with a respectful title of Mr. or Mrs. And probably even, at least from time to time, using the terms such as yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, when they are appropriate as well. These things show when a child handles him or herself in this way, shows that they've learned the concept of showing respect and honor to others. And that's a wonderful thing. If you ever have come across a teenager that handles themselves in this way by using frequently the terms of Mr. and Mrs. and yes, ma'am, yes, sir, then I think you have to admit that it gives you a very good feeling inside to see that they've developed that part of their character in such a way to show respect to others. I once watched a sermon online on the church's website, and I don't remember what the minister was talking about. I'm thinking it was along the same subject of showing honor to your parents, but I'm not 100% sure about that. It was quite some time ago when I saw listened to the sermon. But he made a very powerful comment to me, and that resonated with me. And he said in his sermon that he was the head of his household. And up until the point that his father walked through the door of his own home. And he said, as soon as my dad walks through my front door, in my mind and in my heart, he is now the head of my household. And I thought, wow, how powerful is that? How powerful is that he has so much honor for his parents or his dad, that when his dad comes through his own household door, that he immediately in his mind and heart puts his dad as the head of the household while he's there. And that's a wonderful thing when a child or an adult has so much love and honor and respect for their mom and dad. When I was growing up, I called my parents mom and dad. I called my aunts and uncles. I had an Uncle Ron. I had an Uncle David. I had an Uncle John. Whenever I would address them, I always used the title for them, which is uncle, and that's a respectful thing to do. I had an Aunt Carol. I had an Aunt Marilyn, and I had an Aunt Barbara, and always I addressed them by aunt or uncle when I would have conversations with them as I was a young boy. Another personal example, as I was growing up and came into the church in my very late teenage years, and Joan caught my eye and we started dating, and I got to know her family. I got to know her father. Joan's dad was a longtime elder in the church back in the Dayton, Ohio area, and I would always address him as Mr. McLaughlin. And that was because that was his last name. I'm just kidding. But I would always address him as Mr. McLaughlin, Mr. McLaughlin. And we had a close relationship. I had a closer relationship with my father-in-law than I did with my own dad. And that's not a good thing. It's just factual. And so Joan's dad and I were very close. At one point, when I was a young man, we even worked together. He took me on when I was out of work for a little while and taught me the construction trade. So I had a very close relationship with her dad. And one of the hardest adjustments I had to make was after we got married, I still wanted to call him Mr. McLaughlin. And he pulled me aside one day and he said, Bart, call me Gerald. And I said, it's going to be tough, but I'll do my best. And that was a hurdle. I mean, it's just a mental block because in my mind, I needed to call him Mr. McLaughlin, and it was hard. But I did get over, and I did eventually call him Gerald, but it was tough. It was tough to break that habit of respect, and I did have a lot of respect for my father-in-law. So, but teaching and practicing these things will build a wonderful heart within our children, and the fifth commandment will be a blessing that will follow them throughout their life. I did want to take a moment here and just ask all of us if we could, especially, I guess this is more a request to the parents. But I've noticed the last few weeks that I've been here that at times there's a lot of children. It's probably because of the cold weather and they're inside now, but a lot of the children run very fast up and down through the hallways. And even in here, they'll be running back and forth through the rows. And I'm afraid that one day they're going to come flying around a corner and run into one of our senior citizens and possibly hurt somebody really bad. So if we could, as parents, just kind of watch our kids, ask them if they would to not run inside. If they need to go out and burn some energy off and run, then send them outside for a few minutes, and that cold will probably burn a lot of the energy off pretty quick. But if we could just watch that, it's not just trying to be tough against the kids in any way. It's really a safety factor to make sure somebody doesn't get hurt or something doesn't get broke here at church. So thank you for your attention to that. Let's notice a lesson that Jesus taught about showing honor. Let's go to Matthew chapter 15, verse 4. Again, I'll read from the English Standard Version, Matthew 15, and we'll read verses 4 through 9. There's a parallel version of this story, if you want it for your notes, in Mark chapter 7, verse 11. Matthew 15, beginning of verse 4. Jesus Christ is speaking here. He said, "For God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles mother or father must surely die." So he's talking about and addressing, number one, the fifth commandment, but also the other instructions that are in the old part of the Old Testament about how to deal with children that are just absolutely rebellious to their parents. Verse 5, "But you say, if anyone tells his father or his mother that what you would have gained from me is given to God." Now, I want to explain this verse if it's not real clear, and it might even be a little bit harder to understand depending on what version you're reading. But I've read some commentaries about this, and it's explaining that the Jewish leaders had reached a point within their own traditions and their own laws that they put on that it was okay for them for a Jew, not to take care of his parents and spend money out of their own pocket to take care of their parents if you've already decided that the extra money you had, you were going to give to the temple or give to God. So they were allowing people to say, "Mom and Dad, I can't help you because the money that I have, I'm giving it to God. It's going to the temple." So that's what's being addressed here. Jesus says, "But what would you have gained from me is given to God." Verse 6, "He need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God." So Jesus Christ is saying, you, because of your tradition and your laws that you've established, that you're now saying it's more important that you just give money to God, so to speak, or to the temple, and thereby not take care of your parents when they need it. Verse 7, Jesus goes on and says, "You hypocrites." It is very much hypocrisy when you sit there and say, "Oh, yes, I show honor and respect to my parents." and yet when they need your help, you don't give it to them? You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, and their heart is far from me. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That's why I said this whole concept of honor and giving respect and honor to others cannot just be words that come from our mouth, but it's got to be who we are as a person, that we've developed our nature and our character through God's Holy Spirit to be people of honor and respect. That's what Jesus Christ is looking for in us. That's what God the Father wants to see in his people, that we are honorable people because that's who we are inside. Verse 8 again, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me. In vain. That should send chills through us in our mind to understand what God is saying here. It says, your worship has no value. Your worship of me has no value. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. They put the commandments of men and the teachings of men over and above the very holy law of God. And it was not and is not acceptable by God. We have a responsibility to care for our parents as they need it. It is a requirement upon us by God. In some situations, it might be hard for us to show godly honor to our parents due to the wrong things that they may have done in their lives, maybe even due to wrong things that they have done to us in the past. But the important thing to understand is that God never, nowhere in his word, removes our responsibility to show honor to our parents under any circumstances. It doesn't matter what our parents have done, how wrong they've been, how messed up their lives are. Show honor to them. And a lot of times, the greatest honor that we can show them is just to be quiet, just to yield to them. But we need to show honor and respect to our parents, no matter what they've done. That doesn't mean that we have to accept their wrong actions. Not at all. It doesn't mean that we have to follow all of their instructions. If they come to you, if your parents come to you and say, you need to get out of that religion. Well, my parents told me I need to leave the church, so I guess I have to do that. No, we follow God first. And when there's a conflict between parents' instructions and God's instructions, we honorably and respectfully follow God's instructions. We never show honor to our parents that causes us to disobey God. The command to always honor our parents doesn't go away by their wrongful deeds or also how old they are. I won't take the time to turn there. We're all familiar with the story of David and Saul, right? And you remember that Saul was looking to kill David. He hated David. And they were out walking. David was actually out with his men, and they were hiding in the back of a cave. And they knew Saul and his men were close. So they were hiding from Saul. Saul saw the cave, didn't know David and his men were in there, went into the darkness to relieve himself. And David's men knew it was Saul, and they were telling David, this is it. God has put Saul right within your hands. Go and slay him in the darkness before he even knows what hit him. God has done this. And we know in 1 Samuel chapter 24, if you'd like it for your notes, that David said that it was not within him to dishonor God's chosen. And at that point, David wasn't king. Saul was. Even though Saul was very evil and wrong in all of his thoughts and his actions, David was right by showing Saul honor at that point. So now as we begin to wrap up the sermon, and I know when you hear this, you're going to think, oh, man. But I've got 5 points. We'll go through them fast. 5 points on what we can do to show honor towards our parents. Number one, examine your heart. Examine your heart. We can never show true honor to anyone, if we don't genuinely love them. Sometimes parents can do some very bad and wrong things. Don't lose your love for them because of their wrongs. Don't let your love go because of the wrong actions of your parents. So number one, examine your heart. Number two, forgive them. Forgive them. Forgiving your parents for their wrongs, for their insults, or for whatever they've done against you or to you is what we're called to do. It's what God does for us. He forgives us our sins, all of our wrongs, all of our insults against Him, all of the sins that we've committed. God forgives us. We are to do the same for others, especially our parents. We are to be as our Father in heaven is, and no one is more forgiving than God. You can also refer to Matthew chapter 5, verse 45 through 48, if you'd like. Matthew 5, 45 through 48. Point number three. Your words matter. Your words matter. Talk to your parents. Don't ignore them. Once our parents are really up in age, they cherish phone calls, visits, and any contact that they can get from their children. It means so much. Giving them of your time is the greatest gift that you can give your parents. It's so important that we stay in contact with our parents. Encourage your parents as they get older. Encourage them. Tell them how much you appreciate them. Tell them how much you love them. Hold them in high esteem in your life, no matter how difficult that might be. Hold your parents in high esteem in your life and in your mind. Don't talk bad about them to others. Never do that. Never diminish the reputation of your parents when talking to others. Rather, build your parents' reputation and their dignity in the minds of others, because it will have the same effect upon you. Our parents should simply be a gleam in our eye and in our life as we talk about them. Point number four. Never forget. Never forget. In most cases, our parents cared for us, put shelter over our heads, fed us, clothed us, forgave us of all of our wrongs and the mistakes that we made as children. They forgave us and gave us our first true, real, genuine experience with love. And they generally did this for a nonstop period of at least 18 years, and in some cases more. Be willing to do the same for them if needed. Point number five. Never stop praying for your parents. Never stop praying for your parents. Your prayers make all the difference in the world. They build your love for your parents, and by your prayers, God will help and comfort them. God wants you to have that much love, that much honor, that much respect, that you'll come before His throne and ask for His help and His comfort for your parents. Growing old is difficult. Seeing your dependency upon others increase is a very tough thing to accept. As we grow older, we become more and more dependent upon God and more dependent upon our family. Be there for your parents in prayer and in action. In closing, let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 9. And I'll read from the New Living Translation. Romans 12, verses 9 through 13. Paul's speaking here. He says, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Verse 10, love each other with genuine affection. Genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. Take delight in it. Make it important in your life. Verse 11, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in your confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. All of those concepts that Paul spoke there are so important in terms of showing honor and respect to everyone around us, especially here within the body of Christ, and especially within our own families. God really wants us to see the importance of being a people of honor and respect towards others. I hope the rest of your Sabbath day is very blessed.